Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's Word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Good morning, Indiana, and good morning to all of you who may be listening from different parts of the country and even around the world. This morning's program will be a different format than our usual Sunday morning format. I have with me this morning an honorable guest who has an ambitious yet challenging ministry, especially this past year, planting churches globally. This ministry is called ADVANCE, a Global Alliance for Biblical Evangelism. My guest is Pastor Emeritus of the Indianapolis Baptist Temple, where he pastored with various responsibilities for over 40 years. He had been my boss for many years, where I taught, pastored, and was ordained. My guest this morning commissioned me in 2001 to plant the first Crown of Life Baptist Church in the Near East Side of Indianapolis on Washington Street. For both of us, it was our first church plant. My guest resigned his senior pastorate position several years back, with God giving him a new vision to rethink foreign missions. He did not retire, but as he says, he rebooted. His ministry has been crippled to some degree this past year due to the pandemic, but he is ready to explode out of the gate with renewed ambition. I have with me this morning my good friend, Pastor Greg Dixon, Director of ADVANCE. Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church radio program.
Well, thank you very much. It's good to be back. We were here last year and did a program, and it's an honor to be back with you once again. I am not emeritus, but I am the former pastor of the Indianapolis Baptist Temple, and it was a wonderful experience. Grew up there all my life. And of course, our relationship goes back for many, many years now, and we're very proud of what you and Kim, your wife, are doing. They're on the north side and are continuing to do, and I'm glad that we can be a part of it all.
Amen. Tell us, just give us a great overview of ADVANCE and the initiatives that you have set up for ADVANCE.
Well, there are a number of things, a number of inner city ministries that I was involved with since about 2001, 2002, when I was pastor of the Indianapolis Baptist Temple. And then when I resigned the church at the end of 2015, I did so in order to expand upon and develop the various ministries and initiatives that we were involved with. And so our mission... The mission of ADVANCE is to promote an alliance of pastors, churches, business leaders for inner city renewal and world evangelism through six Christian initiatives. And so here in the city of Indianapolis, we have a youth program called Urban Youth Ministry of Greater Indianapolis. We go into the public schools, we go into some of the penitentiaries, and we work with at-risk youth. Not only that, we have a transitional housing ministry where we has about 20 men, and we do it all through private donations, private gifts, and we don't take any kind of faith-based money or anything like that from the government. It's totally private, and we help men get off the street and have a new start in life. We have four feeding centers where we feed around the city hundreds of people every month. We are getting ready to expand that with another ministry that we are partnering with here very, very soon, the 1st of February. And then we do mission trips to Oaxaca, Mexico, and take medical mission groups and medical personnel, vacation Bible schools we do with adults and youth. We also have missional projects. So last year in Liberia, Africa, we bought mattresses for orphans that have, they're just sleeping on dirty sponges and broken bunk beds and with no mattresses on just filthy cement floors. And there in Buchanan, Liberia, Africa, we bought mattresses for 60 orphans. This year, we're going to be purchasing motorcycles and iPads and computers and various things like that for church planters all around the world to enhance their ministries. And so I'm very excited about that. We are completely funding a Christian school in a remote village in Africa. And so we do missional projects. But church planting is the biggie. And so over the last primarily 5 years, we've been able to help start and support 310 new church startups in Africa, Asia, Latin America, inner city Indianapolis. And it's just a wonderful thing to be able to bless the nations of the world through the gospel of Christ.
Amen. How do you assist indigenous churches? I know you've told me before that you try to train church leaders to plant new churches and then help them, give them the financial incentive to send out other men.
Well, one of the amazing things that I have experienced over the last 5 years traveling to Africa, Asia, Latin America is the gospel and the churches that and the pastors that are in all of these countries. It's been an amazing thing to see hundreds and hundreds of churches in these countries that are preaching the gospel of Christ and doing God's work, and they've been evangelized primarily by American missionaries over the last 100-200 years.
Wow.
And so and I believe that's one of the reasons America has been great, is because of its gospel emphasis. And once we take the emphasis off the gospel, I'm afraid America will not be as great as it once has been and is today. And so I love my country, and I want it to be great. But I believe God established America for the propagation of the gospel of Christ, and we need to continue to do that to have his blessings upon us. And so I go to these countries, and these countries aren't blessed. They are a mess. They are filled with just corruption. And so we get to go there. We get to bless these pastors. We hold one-day church planting events. We tell them that, you know, who we are, what we are, what we're doing. We'll support anyone, any church that wants to start a church. We'll support them for 1 year to get them started. And we support them each $50, each pastor, $50 per month for 1 year. And so it's not an ongoing thing. It's just for 1 year. And $50 a month in most of these countries is a raise to most of these individuals. And so to us, $50 is something that we blow at Starbucks in a week.
Yeah.
There, they can live on that for a month and pay all their bills. And so it's just a tremendous thing. And the Lord has led us in this area and our paradigm and how we do things. And we don't waste money. We support them for a year. That gives them a chance to get on their feet and go forward.
So explain to us the Rethinking World Missions. How was the churches involved in world missions in the past, and what do you see for the future?
Well, I want to begin answering this question by saying I love missionaries.
Amen.
Yes. I believe missions is a four-legged stool. I believe the first leg is the church, the pastor, the American church, the American pastor. I believe the second is leg of the stool is the missionary and going forth, and any missionary, any man that takes their wife and children and moves to another place and uproots everything, leaves their family and friends and all that they know, I bow to them. But I believe they're the second leg to the stool. I believe the third leg to the stool are mission projects. Many churches today have been burned. Many pastors have been burned by missionaries, unfortunately, and there have been a few that have made the rest of the honest missionaries look bad. I've been a pastor for 40 years, so I understand this. But churches and pastors have been burned, and so a lot of them have stopped supporting missionary families, and they have begun just supporting projects. And projects are important, but it's only the third leg of the stool. And without a fourth leg, missions is not going to succeed. And the fourth leg, I believe, are empowering the nationals to start churches. Let me give you one example why. COVID-19 hit last year,
right?
Nearly a year ago. I would guess there are tens of thousands of missionary families that have left the field that could get out and have come home to America or wherever they live. It's not their fault, but it's just a reality. I'm sure that they have tried to stay busy. I'm sure that they have tried to do their work online. I'm sure they've tried to stay in contact. But the bottom line is there's been a lot of support given with very little work because of COVID-19.
Right.
Now, when I say that, I'm going to make people mad. I'm going to make missionaries mad, and I'm not trying to do that. But it's a reality. It's a reality. But when we support and empower nationals to start churches, when missionaries have to come home for whatever reason, the work of God continues on because those nationals aren't coming home.
Right.
They're not leaving those remote villages of Africa or wherever they may be or the mountainous areas of Latin America. They're not coming. They are home.
Right.
They're not coming home to America. And so I think that all of us have to rethink missions, and we have to swallow our pride a little bit. I'm not saying that the other three legs aren't important. They're vitally important. The nationals can't do what they are doing without the other three legs. We have to work together, and we have to admit that COVID-19 has knocked a lot of things out of kelter this last year. And so if we can support the nationals, they can keep the work going. They can continue the work in Africa. I have a buddy that's there right now teaching theology, and I've been there the last 5 years at this very moment. I wasn't able to go this year. I'm planning on going back to Africa in Liberia for 2 weeks in March. But the point is, these nationals, they start churches, they continue starting churches, they're excited about starting churches, and it's just an exciting opportunity.
Amen. Amen. Where do you hope to expand to? If you, again, just reiterate all the countries you're in and where you hope to be able to expand in the next few years.
Well, we're on three continents right now, and we are probably in five or six different countries around the world. One of the problems of expanding is a lack of funds to expand, and number two, we have not exhausted the church planting opportunities in Uganda, in Liberia, in Togo, in the Congo, in the Ivory Coast, in Guinea. We've not exhausted the church planting opportunities in Mexico, in Latin America, in Asia, in India, in the Philippines. So the connections and the global alliances that we have right now, which are over 40, there's so much work that they are continuing to do and expanding on what we've started that it's pretty hard to go into another area until you've exhausted this area, these other areas. And I don't know they'll ever be exhausted.
Amen.
But if we had more funds, then we could do that. We could develop, advance in our ministry. We could bring more people on to, and by the way, it's an all voluntary ministry. I don't get paid to do this. Any of the initiatives, it's free of charge. There are no salaries. So every dime given to advance for missions and for these initiatives, 100% goes to fulfill, these ministries and initiatives and programs. And so I'm very excited about that.
Where do you feel, what continent do you feel there's the most excitement and revival, excitement to plant churches, and there's just men who are chomping at the bit to be pastors? Where do you see that in the world? Where's the most excitement, most revival taking place?
Well, probably the Philippines. Manila was one of my favorite trips.
Wow.
I really, really enjoyed being there and all the experiences. And they, you know, those missionaries there, they have convinced those Asian church planters that the gospel of Christ is going to go forth around the world from Asia, from the Philippines. They've convinced them. And so they are excited about God's work. But I'd have to say Liberia, of the countries that I've been in, Liberia is just hot for the gospel. These men, they tell me, they say, you go back and tell those church planters in Mexico, we're going to plant more churches this year than they're going to plant. And so I go back to Mexico and I tell the church planters and the leadership, the Liberians want me to tell you, they got a message for you, they're going to plant more churches. And then the Mexicans say, no, you go back to Liberia and tell them, we're going to plant more churches this year. So it's a little game kind of going back and forth. And they, you know, it's all done in fun, but
that's good.
they are enjoying the competition, so to speak.
How about some of your work, what you've done in Oaxaca? You know, that's really where your beginning of advance was, just the growing of Oaxaca and the multiplication of churches that took place there. And the last time you were able to be there, you brought doctors and medical people that were able to minister. Do you hope to do that too in Africa?
You know, to do that in Africa, before you can even go to Africa, you're going to spend about $1,500, and that's not even getting there. So most people can't do that, and most young people cannot do that. I mean, you're going to get $1,000 worth of shots before you even get on a plane to go to Africa. So it's a little difficult. Mexico is a little easier. You can just jump on a plane and go. But Oaxaca, you brought that up. We went there about 12 years ago, knocked on a door, preached the gospel, baptized a few, found a pastor in town to start a Bible study with these that we evangelized. From there, we started our first church. And some 11, 12 years later, about 125 churches have been started in 10 different states in Mexico. And so that happened because four of us went, knocked on a door, didn't know we were coming, and that's the power of the gospel.
Yeah, I remember that. It actually started with a pastor that you had planted here in Indianapolis with a Hispanic church.
Well, it was his family.
It was his family.
His sister, and her family, a brother, and his family, and grandparents. And so we knocked on the door, told them who we were, convinced them that we knew their brother, and the rest is history.
Do you think evangelism is taking a major hit because of the pandemic, or do you think some of these countries are seeing an explosion of salvation, church growth because of the pandemic? And even, I don't know if you know much what's going on in China or not, if you could help us understand if there's growth in evangelism in China.
Well, we know that there is great growth of Christianity in China, mainly the underground church. Mm-hmm. And that's been going on for years because blessing... Unfortunately, blessing makes us lazy. Persecution makes us grow. Mm-hmm. And the persecution in China has made Christianity flourish. Here in America, God has blessed us. God blessed Israel. And the same blessing, because of their obedience, that came to Israel, is the same blessing that was taken away because of their disobedience. And America and every country, civilization is the same. Nothing lasts forever. And so when we're blessed, we tend to get a little lazy sometimes. Instead of giving to missions, we buy another boat. And so the very blessings of God is the very thing that turns, you know, things destructively, it seems. So persecution. You take the first church in Jerusalem. They were told to go into all the world, and they stayed in Jerusalem. So what did God have to do? He sent them persecution, and they were scattered. And the church of Antioch started, and many of the others started, and they went into all the world. And so we believers, we're pretty dumb. We just don't get it. And we just don't get it. And so God has to bring persecution and problem and trouble and fear to get us to do what we're supposed to do.
Right.
We just won't do it automatically.
Right. Get out of our comfort zone. Get out of our comfort zone.
And so, yes, COVID has hurt the gospel, I'm sure, in many ways. But at the same time, if we take advantage of our opportunities, we can go forward. Just my ministry, Advance. We last year doubled giving to Advance than the year before. And that was our goal at this time last year, to double what we did the year before. And financially, we did.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a result, this year, we're continuing to support 100 churches. We are going to be buying motorcycles in Liberia in March. We're starting a school and raising the money for $48,000 to start a school for 388 children in a place called Corny School Village, Liberia, Africa. And we started a church there a year ago, and the pastor Weeks that started the church, now he wants to start a Christian school for nearly 400 illiterate children in several villages around his. And so we're going to build a building. We supply them. We give them supplies, buy them supplies, and pay the teachers. You know, they have three teachers for nearly 400 children, and their salary is $25 per teacher per month.
Wow.
There's no excuse to not to do more.
Right.
There's just no excuse not to do more.
Mm.
And
yes.
In these countries, it's so inexpensive to be able to do greater things. And so I'm excited about it, and I'm excited about what's going to be taking place this year. In Mexico, we're going to be buying iPads and computers for church planters and just a lot of different things, and really try to do some more missional projects than we've done in the past, but continue the church planting efforts also.
So in March, you're going to Liberia?
Lord willing.
And Lord willing, and hope the pandemic doesn't curb that. And July, Oaxaca?
July, Oaxaca. And any church pastor that's listening, youth group, youth pastor, love to take your young people with us. If they go with Advance to Oaxaca, I will guarantee you they'll work hard, they'll minister hard, they'll have a great time with those Mexican children, but they'll also have a lot of fun, and they'll play, and they'll eat good. Because if you're going to go with me, you're going to have fun and you're going to eat good. So this will be our sixth trip as far as taking groups. And it's an exciting thing. We take doctors, chiropractors, ER doctors. This next year, we may be taking a lady, a doctor that helps with mental health. You know, and the people come, they stand in line for hours, they sit there. The thing they appreciate is not so much the medical treatment, but there's a doctor that will listen to them for the first time in their lives.
Wow.
And
wow.
So we do it through the churches, then the churches are able to evangelize, get their names, their addresses, follow up, and it's a real blessing.
So if there's any doctors or nurses listening,
yes,
they need to contact you if they're interested in going and
yes,
and helping. It's a wonderful experience. I know one of my memorable moments in life was going to Israel with you back in the 90s and going to church. And you brought a message. You brought a service there with our missionary in Israel. And that was just a memorable experience of being in church in Israel. In I believe it was either Jerusalem or Bethlehem. I don't remember.
It was Bethlehem.
It was
West
Bethlehem.
Bank.
Yeah, that church was well fortified.
First Baptist Church, named Corey.
Yeah.
We were in school together back in the mid-70s. Yes, when you go to the mission field, it changes your life.
Yes, it does.
It changes your heart. It changes the heart of youth and children and adults. You know, I as parents, we make so many investments for retirement and for the future. We need to make some investments in our children, and sending them on a missions trip is a great investment.
Mm.
Yes,
yeah, we need to develop in our children a heart for missions. I have four daughters, and one thing I appreciate about them is that every one of them go to church. Every one of them tithe. Every one of them gives to missions. Every one of them gives to Advance. Every one of them have been on mission trips with me. I want them to have a heart for God and a heart for missions and a heart for people and a heart to give. And they do that, and that's one thing I appreciate about my children.
Amen. Amen. Well, tell our audience this morning, before we're off the air here, how they can contact you, if there's anything more you want to add about the Advance, and then please close us out with prayer.
Well, they can go to my website, advanceglobal.net. That's advanceglobal.net, and that will get anyone and everyone acquainted with what we're doing in a far greater way. I need speaking engagements to be able to preach and present in churches, Advance in what we're doing, church planting all around the world. Not only that, I need individual Christians, not only support from churches, but support from individual Christians and business leaders, foundations, that will use their funds, use their business for the propagating of the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
And yes, enjoy life. Yes. Send your kids to college. Yes. Go on vacation. Yes. Buy that extra boat if you want. But we have to use a percentage of what God has given us to fund what we believe in. We should not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And I believe church planting is the greatest way to bless nations, to bless our nation. And so go to advanceglobal.net to get involved. And we are supporting 100 churches every year right now. I want to bump that up to 250. I want to bump it up to 500. My goal is to get it up to 1,000 every year. And I need churches, I need Christians, individuals, I need foundations, I need Christian business people that will say, I'm going to give to an organization that's helping to support and plant churches all around the world, where 100% of my giving goes to missions.
Amen.
Once again, I don't take a salary, don't need a pat on the back for that. That's my wife and I's decision 5 years ago when we started this. And I told God if he would bless what we were doing, I'd give 100% to him. And that's what we do. And so if you want 100% of your donations to go to missions, get involved with Advance. Advanceglobal.net. And together as a global alliance with others, we can accomplish great things. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity today. We thank you for the privilege to present Advance and what we're doing. And Lord, help us all to propagate the gospel of Christ. Lord, we know that it has changed our lives, and the gospel has prospered our lives. And Lord, the gospel can prosper other lives and nations and peoples that need to know Christ as their Savior. And so thank you for the great opportunity. Thank you for your calling. And thank you for your blessings where we can turn around and take what you have given us and give a hand up to others to accomplish so much more. Help us together to do greater things. Thank you for Pastor DeZula and this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.